Tell your neighbor, God is awesome. Now, I want you to get personal with it and say, my God is awesome. God, we come to you right now, Father God, thanking you, Lord, for this day. We glorify your name. Touch right now, Heavenly Father. Keep us right now, Heavenly Father. Gird us up right now, Heavenly Father. Reconcile our thoughts, Heavenly Father, that we think only on the things that are true. For you are the true and living God. Above you, beneath you, there's no other. For every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that you are Lord, and you are our Lord, Savior of the whole world. What an awesome God and what a mighty God we serve. And we come before you in your presence, being submissive to your will and your way, Heavenly Father. Just want to say thank you for all that you continue to do. Lord, touch me right now, Heavenly Father. Give me the strength, Heavenly Father. Let me say only what you would have me to say, Heavenly Father. It's not my will, Heavenly Father, but thy will be done. It's not my words, but it's your words, Heavenly Father, straight from the prophetic word of God, Heavenly Father, that you have instilled as your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, speaks. Heavenly Father, let us have listening ears, Heavenly Father, not only with the physical ears that we have, but the heart, Heavenly Father, what that says the Lord to us today. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This first Sunday, we continue to recognize, we continue to commune together, remembering his death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm reminded of what my godmama, Mama Chris, she would always say these couple of words, Bobby, and she meditate on how good God has been. She said, wounded for me, wounded for me, wounded for me, he was wounded for me, gone my transgressions, and now I am free. Oh, because Jesus was wounded for me, dying for me. He was dying for me, oh, gone my transgressions, and now I am free, oh, because Jesus was dying for me. And then she will rear her head back and she say, risen, risen, risen for me, risen, risen for me, gone my transgressions, and now we are free, all because Jesus was risen for me. Wounded, dying, risen for me. He was risen for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus is risen for me. Amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Amen. For truly, God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. For he was wounded for us. He died for us. Amen. And most of all, he was risen for us. Amen. Amen. And in our subject, amen. Also, let's give, amen, our media team, our media ministry, amen, a hand, amen, thanking God for the continual work, amen. Amen. Our slide today, amen, in regards to our subject. Entitled Wounded for Me. And I add to that, thank you, Lord. Is there anybody here that's thankful for what he has done? Amen. I see a couple of hands, amen, with my bad vision. Is there any true, dedicated, sold out believers in the house today that's thankful for what God has done? Yeah, I feel my help right now. Yeah. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. As you stand for the reading, because the message has already been confirmed as soon as came into the house of the Lord, from Sunday school even to the reading of the scriptures, amen. But as we continue to be on one accord, amen, and not hold you long, amen, but do what thus says the Lord, amen, according to the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other spirit, amen, that's working up in here besides the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'll paraphrase the scripture, since part of it was read already, but amen, we're going to let the Lord use us. Amen. Reading from Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 7 through 9, and also dealing with Isaiah 53, 4 and 6. Amen. Because there is a message, amen, when those two scriptures are studied together, that is brought out for our scene, and it becomes reality. There's a revelation there, amen. If I was, amen, an attorney, amen, whether on the prosecution side or the defense side, amen, I would plead the case here. But in this case, I don't need to plead what's already true, because Christ has already died for us all, amen. And it's already in these scriptures, amen, to make it plain as possible. You know, our subject is wounded for me. So it's personal for me. I don't know if it's personal for you, but I'm thankful to the Lord, amen, for what he's done. And he keeps on doing for me, amen. And I'm thankful for what he keeps doing for you, amen, because I see that you are here again today, not because of me, but you're here to give God praise, amen, and thank him for what he continues to do, amen. Has nothing to do with what I do, amen. I'm actually really standing next to you in the audience right now because I must decrease every day that he may increase. Amen. So in the scripture here, it says Romans 5, we deal with confirms Christ's sacrifice for the ungodly. Verily, rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Somebody say, but God. Amen. And this is that line here that shows evidence. But God proves his love for who? In what? In this. In this. In this. He proves his love in this. In what was done in this. It says, while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. While we were doing what we were doing, Christ died for us. Somebody say, keep on making a way. Over and over again. Oh, I feel you. He says, therefore, since we have now been what? By what? His blood, without the shedding of blood, there should be no what? Remission of sins. Amen. And I'm almost finished, y'all. How much more shall we be saved from the wrath through him? But look at what Isaiah says. The issue here that's before us is already rectified because it was already prophesied here in Isaiah. It was prophesied of Christ's sacrificial death to come for the ungodly. It was already foretold that this blessing was already on its way for me, Deacon Lawson, for you and you. And you, somebody say he got a blessing with my name on it. Amen. He says, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. I'll say that again. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. The question to you is, what are you carrying? Or then again, what are you holding on to? Because if he's already carried our grief and our sorrow, why are you still holding on to, I'm meddling. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was what? Wounded for our transgressions, our sins here. He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace, the deliverance here, for our peace, the payment here. You can't put a price on it. What's upon him? And by his stripes, we are healed. And it was read, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone astray because there's no guidance there. There's no shepherd leading and guiding us. But then Paul also lets us know that the apostolic teaching of instructions that needed to happen even in that day needs to happen even in this day. Wait, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Because as it was even confirmed, generations are lost. Not only that, people are lost. So before your feet start hurting, I read the rest. It says, we have turned everyone to his own way. Your own way of thinking, your own way of doing it. If it's not satisfying you, then guess what? It ain't happening. And the Lord has laid on him those sins. Yes. Those negative thoughts of iniquity of us all. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord have a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. So here we look in the book here of Romans and the epistle here, Romans and Isaiah. we see what's going on here. And from the book of Isaiah, whose name means the Lord is salvation, our deliverer, which is also similar or alike to the names of Joshua and Elisha and Jesus. Though listed in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah is quoted directly 65 times in the New Testament and mentioned by name over 20 times. As a true prophet of God, Isaiah provides data on the future day of the Lord and the time following, as he predicted future events. He was known as an evangelical prophet that spoke much about God's grace. Isaiah's prophetic gifts given by God leads us to our text even today in this expository message. And then adding with that from the epistle, the letter of Paul to the Romans, which comes from the original recipients, the members of the church in Rome, Israel's first king, who was Saul, which was Paul's Hebrew name, and Paul is his Greek name. Paul was responsible for the spread of Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. Paul's primary purpose in writing Romans was to teach the great truth of the gospel of grace to believers who had never received apostolic teaching and confession of faith. Here we see the rich doctrinal and practical instruction the church needed was found in the letters of Paul. It says that in the study, the overarching, meaning the underlying message of Romans here, is the righteousness that comes from God, the love that was poured out on us from God, the glorious truth that was God himself who justified the guilty and condemned sinners by grace alone through faith in Christ alone. Here today is shared, entangled positively, and woven into our message today. We cover the undeniable fact of the security God has provided for us through the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Though the created man, Adam's sin, was transferred to the human race, through the plan of salvation that brings with it a powerful message. Even in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, it says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. I saw that scripture too, that confirms even more of this message sent by God. He's a new creature. Old things, somebody say old things, have passed away. Are you sure about that? Who in here are holding on to old things? Amen. Oh, we got time. You know what I need you to do? Take both of your hands together, like you're balling up a piece of paper. Because there's these three letters called TBT. And what TBT means is thoughts become things. And what you need to do is those old things, those old thoughts that becomes things, is you need to ball them up. And I need you to throw them away. Now, I don't want you to do that in here because somebody else might catch it. And you don't need to take on what they're taking on. But spiritually, I need you to rebuke that thing and say it's gone in the name of Jesus. Use your power that's within you. It's gone within the name of Jesus. Amen. All things pass away. All things have become new. Your walk, your talk. Yes, your thoughts are gone because all your transgressions he has taken upon himself. Remember, as evidence shows us in God's word, we see and believe that Jesus is the conqueror of death. Do I have a witness in the house today who has reconciled us back to God? Do I have a witness in the house today? And guess what? We'll bring us home to him. The human race takes a new beginning through Christ Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions. Through regeneration, we have been provided a new birth as Jesus himself says to Nicodemus in the Gospels of John 3:3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again through spiritual transformation or regeneration produced by the Holy Spirit, not produced by the world, he or she cannot enter the kingdom of God. The spiritual washing, the spiritual purification of the soul, accomplished by the Holy Spirit through the word of God at the moment of salvation, is required to enter the kingdom of God. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you. Amen. But the word of God is always heavy when we read it. It cuts deep like a two-edged sword. It's supposed to convict us. It's supposed to lift us up. It's supposed to guide us. And we're to hear the words of the Lord and heed to the word of the Lord. Why? Because this doctrinal evidence presented to the world, which is factual evidence provided without a shadow of a doubt between these two scriptures here. For it was prophesied of Christ's sacrificial death to come for the ungodly in Isaiah, and confirms even today as we use the scriptures together here for a godly message. The sacrifice. He gave his life for us. Somebody needs to tell us that he gave his life for me. He was wounded for me. But the question comes, has anyone stopped Deacon Johnson to just say thank you? I said, preacher, you asking too many questions. Well, didn't you know that was what I was called to do? I'm not only to share the word with you, but I must follow it myself. And the problem today is that those that have been put on the pedestal, don't put me on the pedestal. They forget that you have been created just like everybody else. You're not too big, high, and mighty. How can the created instruct the creator what to do when you are the created? The Spirit says, don't forget where you come from. Don't forget who made you who you are. And I love, that's another song I love too. Bobby, just, you know, station identification, just taking a break really, real quick. He says, God made me, he made me who I am. I'm a believer, I'm a conqueror, because he made me who I am. Has anybody stopped by just to say thank you? Because he was wounded for me. He was wounded for you. Romans tells us, but God proves his love for us in this. Somebody say, he did it for me. Then Romans also said Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And then Isaiah, as we take a piece from there and we put this meal together on the plate, because as we enter into our meal, there are things that we must partake of, and we must examine ourselves as we stand here together, here, the Holy Eucharist, the communion. Here, as we get ready to partake, we have to examine ourselves. Isaiah backs up and he says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Is your way God's way? That's the question. And then Isaiah says, surely he has borne our grief. What have you done? Surely he has carried our sorrows. What have we done? Yet
We esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Lord, if this cup in the Garden of Gethsemane could pass, no, it's already set in motion. But what he was doing and what he was trying to get the disciples to see and understand is that these are the things also that you're going to need to go through as well in your suffering. Don't think that you're going to walk with Christ and you're not going to have any suffering. But the problem that was determined and seen back then when he was in the Garden of the Gethsemane is that they fell asleep. And the lesson learned is that if you're not watching and if you're not praying, you're going to fall into temptation. And the temptation that they fell in is that they went to sleep. Say, I was tempted. That's a temptation to go to sleep. Yes, it is. Some of y'all sleeping right now. I'm glad this shield is right here. Romans says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. And Isaiah said what? But he was wounded. Can you see the two texts having a conversation together? And this is what happened when you get deep, Deacon Lawson, in the word and you at home by yourself. Because everybody else doing what they're doing. Wife's over in Louisiana. Baby girl's over in Arizona. The other one went over there too. And the other one's in Sacramento. This poor lonely man is at home by himself. But guess what, Deacon Rita? Somebody messed up. Because I'm having a ball. Me and Jesus. Amen. But I love my family. Amen. And I know they love me. They probably get tired of me talking. Amen. I know they watching. Somebody watching. But I love them. You got to love them. It's like Deacon Johnson, he brought out instruction, guidance. Amen. And yes, they have a mind of their own now. But the guidance still needs to happen. Why do you say that, Minister Modrow? The reason why is because guess what? I learned that parenting do not stop. And why do you think Christ kept going as he walked that road? He looked and he saw us. And he said, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. And even though it was depicted in the movie of The Passion of the Christ, do you see the look that he gave his mother? When he was knelt down and he looked up and he saw her, guess what? Put your face there. He said, ain't no way I'm going to let this happen to you, and you. Because you are believers in me. And you are trusting and you're depending on me. But guess what? I loved you before you loved me. And this is why I'm going all the way. Do I have a witness in the house today? But has anybody stopped by this morning to say thank you? Because of this sin is the disobedience of God's word. All people are guilty of sin, and sin has a penalty. The penalty of sin is death. No one gets to go to heaven with sin and in life. Sin entered the world through Adam, and by Adam, we inherit a sinful nature. But if we wish to live forever with God in paradise, we must rid ourselves of sin. However, no one can rid themselves of sin under their own strength. Only Jesus. Somebody say, only Jesus. Tell your neighbor, only Jesus. Ask your neighbor, who is Jesus? Well, he is the Son of God that can remove sin out of your life. He did that by dying on a Roman cross in our place to remove sin from our lives. However, it can have an effect. It can't have an effect only if you're willing. If you have to be willing to turn from your sin and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If we are willing to turn to Jesus in faith, believe. What does faith mean? Faith is, yes, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things unseen. But when we break down faith, spell faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith, F-A-I-T, thank you, Holy Spirit, faith. Am I spelling this right? F-A-I-T-H, Father, all in thy hand. Holy Spirit, I put it all in his hand. Everything. He was wounded for me. He did it all for me. Guess what? I put it all in his hand. I turned it over to, you know the song that we sing. It lines up with the scripture of casting all your cares. Y'all better Google that. I'm not giving you anything that's from myself. Everything comes from the word of God. You better know Deacon Reeder, he's searching it right now. I love, man, woo, when I walked in this church, I was like, oh my God, the anointing of God is all over this man. I want to have that same fiery spirit. And then I looked at everybody else. And everybody looking like, well, we in this message, huh? We in this message. I didn't know we going to be in this message today. Oh, yeah. Because I love you. I love you. I love what you do. I see what you're doing. Don't stop. So tell your neighbor next to you and back of you, don't stop doing what you're doing if you're doing it for the Lord. But if you're not doing it for the Lord, you better get rid of it and ball it up, because those thoughts become things that can cause you to stumble. Moving on. Say, you meddling, preacher. You know what? You're right. But see, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. When he was maligned, he did not answer back. When he suffered, he did not threaten nobody. He didn't retaliate. But what he did, Reverend Muldrow, is he committed himself to God who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that became the altar for all our sins. See, they really didn't, some of them probably did, Bobby, really understand what they was doing when they put that in the Passion of the Christ. You remember when the cross fell and then he fell on the cross? Huh? All our sins. Without the shedding of blood. Blood had been shed. You know the Levitical writ. Yeah. Without the shedding of blood, the offering through Jesus Christ, our Savior, for us. But the question is still, I can't understand, is that did anybody stop by just to say thank you? And we close. He was delivered over to death for our trespasses. But he was raised to life for our justification. He was risen just for me. He died just for me. And he was wounded just for me. And I stopped by to say thank you. Thank you. for how you brought me, Brent. Thank you for how you taught me. Thank you that you never left me. Thank you that you've always kept me. Thank you. God bless you. Because see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have an everlasting life. And right now, we extend the call of discipleship. And we offer Christ to the one or many that may be looking not only for a church home, but looking for a true relationship in Christ Jesus. And we offer Christ to you today, my brother and my sister, whether you come as a candidate for baptism by letter or Christian experience, amen. The leaders, the ministry of new beginning, start your new beginning by allowing Christ to be the head of your life. We offer Christ to you today. And if you are here, you can come. If you're not here, you can even call. You can email. Oh, yeah. God knew what he was doing. COVID ain't got nobody. But COVID is learning who's in control. He uses it. And he used it for the good of us. Somebody bought using it for bad. But God is using it for the good. To get everybody's attention. That's walking around with devices in their hands. That are just sitting somewhere. He's getting all. Everyone's attention. Even those that have backslid. But guess what? You can make the change right now. You can repent and turn about and come to the Lord.